Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
There's a lot of little prophets. We call them the latter prophets, the minor prophets, in the back of the Old Testament that we just kind of forget about. And as a pastor, I had kind of forgotten about those books too. So a few months ago, I decided I was going to read the minor prophets because all scripture is given for our benefit. All scripture is beneficial to our learning and our education. It tells us something about God. And so I started reading. And when Vic asked me to preach today, I said, well, by golly, I'm going to preach from one of those minor prophets. And I just happened to be reading Zechariah at the time, and it spoke to me. Thus said the Lord. We see that over and over again in the prophets. Thus said the Lord, because a prophet is not coming up with this stuff on his own. That's not what a prophet does. A prophet is a messenger. All a prophet is a mouthpiece for God. So you'll see over and over in the prophets, thus says the Lord. This is what God said. That's what Zechariah is telling the people. This is what God said. And then he gives them the word. And so today we're going to look at what God said and what the people did. I got my handy clicker this week. I'm very excited. This is my first time to preach with the clicker. It works great. So the book of Zechariah, just to give you a little background on this, when it happens, what's taking place at the time, because I think that's important. The people of Judah, of the nation of Judah, which we call Israel now, they were conquered by the Babylonians about 600 B.C., give or take. It took a few years. They were conquered by the Babylonians. And the leaders of Judah, the prominent people, the priests, the scribes, all of the government officials, the wealthy, the powerful, were taken into exile in Babylon. Why did they do that? Well, when you take over a country, you destroy their power structure, right? So some people, the poor, the peasants, the agricultural workers, some people were left in Judah. We sometimes think that everyone was taken into exile, but it was really just the leaders. So the leaders of Judah were taken to Babylon in exile, sort of a slave-like state, but not really. They just were in exile. They were forbidden to return to their own country, and they began to establish their own culture in Babylon. Some of them got jobs working for the king. We see that in the book of Daniel. They began to intermarry. They began to settle in because they had no idea how long they were going to be in exile. About 540 BC or so, Babylon was conquered by Persia. Cyrus the Great. And I think we call him the Great because he's the one who liberated the captives in Babylon. And Cyrus said that the Judean captives, the Israelites, could return to Jerusalem. They could return to the nation of Judah. He didn't see any reason to keep them in Babylon now that he had conquered Babylon. So they began to trickle back to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem had been destroyed. Again, that's how you conquer people. When you take over their country, you destroy their seats of power. And the temple had been destroyed. The wall around the city had been destroyed. The peasants were just eking out, you know, a minor living there on the land. So in the books of the minor prophets especially, we see this rebuilding of Jerusalem after the exile. Nehemiah and Ezra, they were given the mandate by God to help lead the people back and to rebuild the wall around the city, because you need that for protection, to rebuild the temple. And they thought everything was going to be okay. You know, we're doing what God told us to do. We're rebuilding the temple. And lo and behold, things didn't really get better for them. There was a big famine. There was a drought. We know about drought here in Texas. Big drought. Crops failed. People were starving. And people began complaining, God, what's going on? We built the temple back, just like you said. We built the wall. And now this is happening to us? So God sent another prophet. God sent the prophet Zechariah. And the prophet Zechariah heard from God, and he had this message. Thus says the Lord. This is the message from God. Zechariah had a series of visions. If you read the book, you'll see his series of visions. But this is what he got from God. God said, it's not just about a temple. It's not just about the building. It's not just about the bricks and the mortar. It's about hearing and obeying the will of God. And what was the will of God? We heard that in the passage that Steve read. Thus says the Lord of hosts, thus says the Lord, render true judgments, be just. Show kindness and mercy to one another. Love your neighbor. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien in your land, or the poor. Be generous to those who have less. And do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. That's what the Lord said. It's not just about a building. It's not just about a temple. It's about living out God's will in your heart. And the people didn't listen. And this was the part that really grabbed me. When I was reading through Zechariah, I loved this line. They refused to listen and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears in order not to hear. And all I could envision was them turning their backs and going, la, 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 I can't hear you, God. They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted to hear the easy part. Building a temple, actually, was easy in comparison to living out the will of God in their lives. You know, we're engineers. We can do that. We can build a wall. We can build a temple, no problem. But now you want us to be kind? You want us to be just? You want us to be generous? You want us to stop planning and plotting to put ourselves ahead, to think of others first? They turned a stubborn shoulder. They stopped their ears. They had adamant hearts. The people did not want to hear it. So God sent Nehemiah. God kept giving Nehemiah this message. Zechariah. He sent Nehemiah too, but he sent Zechariah with this message. God continued to talk. Even when we think God is silent, God continues to speak. Job saw that, right? The book of Job. It was funny, all throughout the book of Job, no matter what is happening to Job at the time, he always hears God. He always knows God is there. He always knows God is speaking. Job 26, it says, how small a whisper we do hear of him. It may be a whisper. It may be quiet. We may have to strain to hear. But he's there. And then later, Job said, the Lord answered out of a whirlwind. It was loud. It was unmistakable. It was crashing over his head. Have you ever heard God like that? Hit you over the head with a 2x4? And you go, oh, that's what you were trying to tell me. Sometimes we have those moments. But God is always speaking. Thus says the Lord, constantly. God requires us to hear. God is always speaking. We are required to hear. But it's interesting, in the Old Testament in particular, the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. Their messages go together. But it's very interesting that the message of the Old Testament, what God wants us to hear, is not just his words, but it's the cries of the needy. It's the pleas of the poor. It's the language of the oppressed. God wants us to listen, to hear what's going on, and to act. Because listening is useless unless there's action involved. Hearing and obeying God's word. Now, sometimes God speaks to us directly, like Job heard God directly. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people, sends other people into our lives to tell us God's word. But it's so hard to listen. It's so hard to hear. We're busy. I mean, this is a very busy culture. Now, many of you may be retired, but you're still busy. It's surprising sometimes when I think, oh, well, you know, so-and-so will probably be here because, you know, they're retired and they don't have anything to do. No, you have grandkids, travel, volunteer work. I mean, we are a culture of being busy, of being active, of spinning our wheels sometimes. But that's not new. It really isn't. When you read about Jesus, his life was a treadmill. He was going from one place to another immediately. I like the book of Mark because Jesus moves immediately. He finishes one thing, he goes to the next. And then it's like Jesus hits a wall and he has to remove himself to find a quiet place to pray. To find a still place. He gets in a boat and rows down the shore to get away from the people. He goes up on a hillside to get away from the people. He goes into the garden at night, in the middle of the night, to get away from the people, to get away from the busyness, from the noise, from the clutter, from all that's going on in his life, to listen for God, to listen for his Father, because he knows that God is still speaking to him. But he has to separate himself from what's going on in order to hear. Lack of faith. Why don't we listen? Lack of faith. But you know what? I don't think it's lack of faith in God. I think it's lack of faith in ourselves. I've heard from so many people, kind of the who me thing. Why would God be talking to me? Why would God have anything to say to me, just little old me? I don't have anything important to do. I can't change the world. I can't stop famine. I can't, you know, bring African criminals to justice. How many of you have seen the Coney videos that have gone around Facebook this past week about this African war criminal and bringing him to justice? And I had a discussion with my son, who's 16, and he had that same, that why me thing, this who me thing. It was like, well, what can I do about it? I can't do anything. It's just me. I can't do anything. Lack of faith in who we are as children of God. We are powerful beyond imagination. When we set our minds to it, we can accomplish amazing things. And God uses ordinary people to accomplish his means. I mean, think about it. Really, no one is born extraordinary. Everybody is born ordinary. And God uses those ordinary people to accomplish his will in the world. We saw that in the Bible, Moses. You know, Moses was the biggest who me kind of guy. Who me? Huh? Why would you want me? I'm a murderer. I'm a fugitive murderer. I'm an outsider. In fact, Pharaoh is probably going to kill me if he sees me. Also, apparently Moses was like a stutterer. He had some sort of speech impediment. I mean, Moses really was a who-me kind of guy. But God kept speaking to him. God kept saying, you can do this. This is the job that I'm giving you. And he was able to accomplish that. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, apparently was a young boy when he heard God's word. And his response was, who, me? Surely you don't mean me because I'm just a kid. You can't do anything. And God said, no. You're the one that I need to speak for me. You're the one that I need to hear my words and tell the people. Because God gives us the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That God will give us the strength we need to accomplish whatever it is he's told us to do. And fear. Why is it so hard to listen? Well, I think we're afraid. We really don't want to hear what God has to say. The people of Jerusalem, when Zechariah was delivering that message that it's not about the temple, it's about being nice, it's about being kind, it's about reaching out to the poor and the aliens in the land, which the foreigners, it's about being just in your court system, in your legal system. It's hard. God tells us to do really hard things. And we're afraid. Not only are we afraid, I think, because it's difficult obeying the will of God. It's the unknown. When I was 12 years old, I thought I heard God in my life. God saying, serve me. But I really didn't want to explore what that meant, because that meant giving up a lot of my own ideas about the way I wanted to live my life. And I ignored God for a long time because I was afraid of giving up control. I was afraid of giving up my dreams about my life. But God's persistent. I mean, more persistent than I am, I guess. God beats us down, hits us over the head, shows us through love a better way. And eventually, I stopped and I listened and I acknowledged the fear of what it might mean to serve God. For me, serving God meant full-time ministry. For you, serving God may mean finding a passion, a cause, a volunteer job. It might mean serving God through your vocation, through your work that you do every day, being a witness for God, thus says the Lord. And I don't advocate going around saying, thus says the Lord, because you're probably going to get a lot of weird looks. But embodying God's will in our lives, we can overcome the fear, the resistance. We can take the fingers out of our ears and listen to God. I like this verse from Proverbs, because for me, this is what it means to listen to God. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Take our fingers out of our ears. Turn around. Listen. This is the logo of the United Church of Christ. They came up with this campaign a few years ago, and I had a friend who was United Church of Christ, and she went to a conference, and she got a t-shirt that had this logo on it. She gave it to me. I wore it for years. I don't even know where it is now. But I really like this because the tagline for this is, never put a period where God has put a comma. God is still speaking. God's revelation does not end. God's revelation did not end 2,000 years ago. God's revelation didn't end 50 years ago. God is still speaking. God puts a comma at the end of every sentence. God puts a comma in every life. Who are we to put a period? There are so many things that we continue to learn about God, individually and collectively. As a community of faith, we have to believe that God is still speaking. But the question is, are we still listening? I invite you during this period of Lent to find a still, small space, a quiet place, a place away from the busyness, away from your day-to-day, away from the things that cause you anxiety, to listen for God, to maybe hear God's voice in your life. I can't guarantee that you're going to hear God speaking, but I can guarantee you're never going to hear God speaking if you don't open yourself up, allow yourself to be there, to listen for God, to obey God's will for your life, and to share God's love with the world.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.